Underpants.
Hey,
Hello,
everyone, and welcome to the Big Show Pants Free Edition. I'm Jeff Gamet. I am your interim host sitting in for Ewan Rankin. And when I say Pants Free Edition, what I really mean is Summer of Fun Edition. wow, we are getting close to the end of Summer of Fun, sad but true. And I've been enjoying this. For all of you that are like Summer of Wet, Summer of Fun. So Patrice came up with this brilliant plan, which is that instead of scrounging to find any news during the summer, that we pick a topic and we just talk about that. And it can be whatever we want, or it could be whatever you want. Everyone, let us know what topics you'd like us to discuss, and we'll put them on the list. Since we're getting to the end of Summer of Fun this year, that means it'll probably be next summer, unless we decide to do random Summer of Fun out of season episodes along the way.
We could do a winter of shenanigans and do that.
Yeah, right. We could. We absolutely can.
Yes.
Keep in mind, Ewan is not here stopping us.
No.
It's exactly. Winter of me and Jeff have 5 feet of snow outside our door and can't go anywhere.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, good times. Yep. Ben, the difference is that for me, it wouldn't be as bad because I live in Colorado where you get the snow and then it melts within a few days, as opposed to where you live, where you get the snow and you have to wait for spring before it goes away.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
you get the snow and then you have to wait for Tuesday.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Tuesday in 3 months.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tuesday in April.
Last Tuesday in April.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Well, speaking of good times, Ben, how are you?
I am great, Jeff.
That is awesome.
Decided to move to the kitchen table for this particular episode.
Well, your background has a really great Americana feel with the with the pendulum clock on the wall.
Yes.
The broken pendulum clock on the wall.
Broken, yeah. It's been 4 o'clock for quite a while.
That clock has been on the street for 4 generations. So
wow, nice.
So what we can say is this clock has consistently maintained its time for 4 generations.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes. And
been broken for 3.5. So
yes. And the hat smells like it's been here for 4 generations.
Well, I'm so glad we didn't start Smell-O-Vision this week. Yeah. Speaking of Smell-O-Vision, which in this case is smoke, Tom, how are you?
I'm great, Jeff. Thank you. Smell-O-Vision. I'm old enough to remember that. Do you remember Kentucky Fried Movie, where they did a parody of Smell-O-Vision, where a guy stood behind you in the theater and sort of manhandled you based on whatever was happening in the movie? Anyway, if you've never seen Kentucky Fried Movie, it's an American classic.
It is. And depending on what chemical substance you have taken before watching the movie determines how much of a classic it is.
Okay, that might be a giveaway. I thought it was a great movie.
Yeah, if you haven't seen Kentucky Fried Movie, see Kentucky Fried Movie.
Yeah.
Ben, I would suggest, or at least in California, your clock would be set to 4:20, not 4 p.m.
I see what you did there. Well played, sir.
Well, the problem is that time is only legal on the other side of the river.
Or if you're a fan of The Who, it would be set to 5:15.
No, the correct time is 9:41.
What's that?
Apple.
Oh.
All Apple devices, all presentations always have 9:41.
You know, have you ever noticed when you go into a watch place or a clock place, and they set them all to 10 after 10.
Mm-hmm. The smile.
Yeah. I think that's such a funny thing.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. That shows you how often I go into watch shops.
Same.
Huh. I had no idea. I just assumed that there was always at least one employee in a watch shop who would freak out if the time wasn't set the same on everything. And so they just made sure it was fine, but then hated every spring and fall when daylight savings change happened.
So every watch shop has to have at least one OCD employee.
I think that anyway, because you like all those like clean glass surfaces everywhere, and
that's not true.
Now that you say this, I realized that the employees that work in watch shops and in high-end pen shops are probably interchangeable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't know how it is like in your neck of the woods, but here, a lot of watch shops have pens and vice versa.
That's not a coincidence. Maybe that's why.
I think so.
The employee base is the same, so let's just combine them.
And I think that the kind of people who are into nice watches are probably also into nice pens.
Yeah, that's true.
Mm. And it's right across the street from the Porsche dealership.
Probably.
Oh, that's actually kind of sad. I'm really into the pens part of it. But the association that goes along with and high-end watches and having a Porsche, this suddenly became an elite group that I probably don't fit in.
And by the way, Ben, I thought at first you would say, and right across the street is Sesame Street. Because why not?
And then we would know how to get there.
Exactly.
Walk down the street until you see the combo pen and watch shop, turn right, and that's how you get to Sesame Street.
Exactly.
I was about to say, it's been 35 years since I've seen an episode.
There's still time.
Exactly.
All right. Well, Patrice, I was going to come up with some clever transition, and I realized everything that was coming to mind, while it's appropriate in context, was going to sound completely inappropriate. So instead, I will just say, red looks great on you.
Thank you.
How are you?
Thank you. I'm the Cookie Monster. No, he wasn't taking. I don't know. No, I'm good. I'm good. I'm slightly tired today, but I don't know why. It's one of those days. But yeah, it's been a good week. I'm looking forward to my vacation next week. We'll be in Sweden, in Stockholm. Very much looking forward to that, even though I have a ton of work still to do till then. like there's not enough hours in the day, and I have a games night, board games night planned for tomorrow. And yes, so tomorrow after the Mac show, I'll have to jump.
Just don't fly anywhere near the UK, right?
No, not planned. I mean, also not flying to the anywhere near the US. I mean, like Canada put out a travel advisory for the US, and like I think other countries
will follow. I saw that. And sadly, it's completely appropriate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's that. No, I'm sad. There's a really nice direct connection from Vienna to Stockholm, and it's like at like 1 p.m. or something. So it's like a really nice, relaxed start. On Sunday, I'll leave. So
yes,
nice.
Stockholm is fun. That's a great city.
Yes, Patrice, be sure to bring me back some Swedish metal albums and supermodels.
Okay, no meat malt.
Those two.
There's an IKEA near Vim, right?
Well, no, yeah,
just go to the IKEA.
Oh.
The next IKEA is probably Chicago. Three states over. Okay, I wasn't even that wrong.
Yeah.
No, you're actually pretty close.
Yeah, I can go to Chicago or I can go to Minneapolis. Both of those, you pretty much have to get on the plane.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, pretty much. Wow. All right. I guess I shouldn't complain about my IKEA being an hour drive. assuming traffic is light.
Yeah. Mine is like, I have one is by underground about 15 minutes, and the other one is like by car about 20. So
yeah. Yeah. See, I can go on a bus and takes for 7 hours. Or I can go on the car for four and pay about $1 million in tolls to the state of Illinois.
And then, I mean, like, you have the whole problem. Like, how do you take the Billy shelf, like, on the bus on the way back? Like, getting there, not a problem. To do,
before they built the IKEA at the south end of the Denver metro area, hence it's an hour away,
mm-hmm.
when we all had a larger we, like me and a group of friends, we would all put together our IKEA lists of what we wanted. And then we'd have like one person who would fly to Salt Lake, rent a U-Haul, get the order, and bring back everyone's stuff. And of course, we paid for all of our stuff, and then we all chipped in for the U-Haul and the flight.
Yeah.
And it still saved us money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That totally makes sense. I mean,
that's crazy.
You would think that in Europe, like, there are IKEAs everywhere, but where my mom lives, the next year is like 2 hours away by car. So like saying like halfway across Germany almost. And so yeah, same thing. I mean, we did that once or twice we didn't fly there, we just rented like a U-Haul and drove up and back down. And it was still cheaper than having it delivered.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have two of them. One is 10 minutes away. The other one is maybe 40 minutes away.
Yeah.
Okay. So fly out here if you need something.
Yeah, that's an idea. Ben, you should fly to California if you need
something. Oh, here's what I should do. I can get a direct flight to Las Vegas. Go to the Las Vegas IKEA.
There's
and fly back for less than the bus ticket to Chicago, and definitely way less than gas and tolls.
Good. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. If you fly to Denver, we have the IKEA here also, and you can get a direct flight to here as well.
I can, but instead of $39, it would be like one kidney on United.
Yeah, but I mean,
ouch.
Yeah,
Vegas
true.
Is always cheaper. Yeah,
that is true. But I mean, Ben, hear me out. If you're doing that, or like if you're going to Denver, then why not just go to Sweden?
Yeah, yeah,
just go to Stockholm.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean the supermodels in Sweden are way better than the supermodels in Denver.
I don't know, but
the ones
I think
that are here are closer.
Well, I mean,
yeah, not by much.
Not if you're spending 17 hours on the tarmac.
Is that what they mean by a bird in the hand is? Never mind.
Yeah, you should just stop right there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, hey, we never even got around to starting our topic yet.
Nope.
Oh yeah,
and that's abnormal.
No, what's abnormal is I just realized. Usually I'm totally aware that that we've kind of blown off the regular show and we're just talking.
Yeah. It's blah 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 TSO host.
Exactly. It's like you've been here.
Yeah. Yes. So topic today.
I completely forgot what our topic is. I am
audiobooks and radio plays was the topic.
Oh,
which,
right.
Actually, it's an Ian topic, like he suggested it, even though he's not here today. He suggested it, but we thought we would still do it. So,
yep. Oh, crap. Who has the cardboard cutout of Ian?
No, sorry, it's in the other room.
Oh, we should have just 3D printed an Ian.
Oh, that would have been a good idea. Yeah, I think he's in Romania or something. I think you mentioned something.
Turkey. Turkey, right?
Or Turkey?
Turkey. Okay.
Okay.
So, vacation.
As I say, Romania, we would have one cutout of Ian, one cutout of Dracula.
Yeah, it's true.
You know, maybe when Ian comes back, we'll just start calling him Vlad.
Good idea. Yeah, audiobooks. So I'm going to start with a series that I'm right now re-listening to, whatever. Like it's a whole universe of books, and it's science fiction. It's really interesting, and that's the like Orson Scott Card, the whole Ender verse. There's like I don't know, probably 15 books by now, or maybe more. I don't remember. There's a lot. There's like multiple series. Basically, he always writes like 3, 4, 5 books, like basically in a row, or in a certain, let's say, timeline and a certain storyline, and then like he has others that complement it, or before, after, or around it, or something like that. So the most well-known probably is Ender's Game. Mm-hmm. You might remember the, honestly, not great, Harrison Ford movie. Like
I do remember the movie.
8 years ago or something like that, or 10.
Yeah. It was Ender's Game in name only.
Well, you know, a lot of aspects are kind of from the book.
It was
like it's okay. It was from as a book adaptation. It wasn't too bad. It wasn't awesome, best ever, but it wasn't too bad. It's just, in my opinion, the weakest book. In the entire
I say pick the weakest one.
Yeah, but also for a good reason. It stands out in it's very action packed. It is very, let's say, family kid friendly, because it is about a bunch of kids like going into military basically and beating aliens, and it's action packed. It's kind of it's an interesting story for kids or for like young adults.
Yes, yep, mm-hmm. yes, kids. Here, this is how to commit genocide.
Yeah. And the interesting books and the story and Orson Scott Card in like one of the many interviews he even talked about it. It's like it wasn't the first book he wrote. It was actually the book he had written it or had started writing a different book, like the one following basically. I think it was Ender in Exile, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. And he realized that he constantly had to explain the backstory. Mm-hmm. And that's the book. So he was like, okay, I should make this a separate book. And he split it up and like kind of got a 2-for-1 deal for that. And as I said, it's very popular with kids and families, because it is for them and for that age group, really powerful and interesting story. But I think for adults, more interesting is everything that happens after that, like all the adults doing things and how Ender kind of lives with it, and all the science fiction that happens and the politics and like all the other stuff that happens, which is a really interesting reflection on our own societies and how we might go into the universe and how that might do and how we might deal with other species that we encounter that are maybe complete. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe so different that we don't even understand them. Not like, okay, they might be somewhat similar and we can still... Like, yeah, languages are a barrier and technology, whatever, but we might still, on a basic level, understand why they're doing certain things or not. But we might encounter something that is so different that we do not understand it on a fundamental level. So it's a really interesting book series. There's basically he tells then also the war stories, like the what they call the Formic Wars, which against the aliens, mm-hmm. against the aliens that we then kill in Ender's Game, basically. Spoiler for the movie. But like the how that all began and the politics on Earth and all of that, like it's super. It's an adult book series, really. And he's a really good writer. So
I'm with you on Ender's Game, and I actually think Ender's Game is a much more compelling story. Which is the book where it's Ender's Game told from Bean's perspective?
That is the one I'm listening to right now, which is basically like complements the one. It is called Ender's Shadow.
Ender's Shadow.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Ender's Shadow, I think, is a better telling of Ender's Game than Ender's Game.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
It is. It's also his second attempt, basically. He wrote Ender's Game first, and then with, and he's very open about that. Like in the foreword of the audiobook, he basically says, "Hey, I wrote this about 15 years later, or something, or 20 years later. I've learned a lot. I've grown." That. Like the Ender's Game is like I think early 80s, late 70s, something like that.
85, I think.
Mm-hmm. I think a little bit earlier than that, even. It started out as a novel originally, so I don't know. Like, yeah, it might be, yeah. But like somewhere in the 80s, let's say. And like with 15, 20 years more experience, also fleshing out the universe and everything, he learned a lot. And so I think also as well, like it is a better story. It is less action-packed. Yeah. It is less about, because he has already Ender's Game, it's less about what happens, because you know what happens. It's more about, what happens around it and the people and so on. And it's much more interesting for me. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he saw Starship Troopers and learned how to do it better.
I mean, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. It kind of, it's a similar story. I mean, it's, yeah, but is that, it's, it, I just like the whole, and it's called the Enderverse, the whole universe, basically everything around it. It's like, and how he, like, there's different times, like that series happen, so things change over time for sure. And but every book has their own, every book series, like it's like 3-4 book series, has their own topic, has their own characters, has their own purpose. Which is, I mean, it's kind of like in a sense like Star Trek. It's like there's a Star Trek universe, but you can have a lot of different stories with sometimes the same characters and sometimes completely different characters, and sometimes they might interact. And it just makes it more fleshed out. And he's really good at that. Like, I never felt like, oh, this is long-winded and he's like explaining everything, whatever. And it's like, he gets to the point. So, yeah, that's my pick, because I'm listening to it right now. So I do that. I think it's like the fifth or sixth time I'm going through it. So,
nice.
Wow. And I'm going to admit it. It started with Ender's Game. I was not aware of his books before that. With the movie Ender's Game.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I said I enjoyed it enough that I was like, huh, I want to know what actually the book for that is, like how that, what is that like? And then I discovered, hey, there's like a lot more.
So the book or the movie was a trailer for the books.
Yeah, kind of.
In a sense, yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. In a sense, yes. Which is, I mean, that's why I'm saying, like, was it the best movie ever? No. Like, it was entertaining, it was okay. It's always difficult when you have a ton of kids. Like that's a really difficult movie to make, to be honest. Yeah. So
I mean, it's basically a very adult movie in a kid's setting. Because
yeah, in many ways, yeah.
Because basically it's about people manipulating this autistic child into making the most messed up decision in human history.
Exactly. And the kid is in the book, the kid is actually much younger than he is in the movies. So
yeah.
I mean, for also very practical reasons, because they couldn't get actors to work as long and make a movie like that if they're younger. So
if they were younger, I think it would have come across as far too disturbing for most audiences.
Yes. True, yes.
Which is part of the point of what's happening in the books. I mean, it's
horribly
disturbing what they're doing.
Yeah. Oh, what's the ending of is disturbing enough with the slightly older child.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like, you were just responsible for a couple billion deaths.
Yeah, and that's why I'm saying, like, the book series is like, I mean, there is the Ender's Game, like the Ender's Game series, like a couple books. And the ones after deal a lot with that, like with Ender over basically his entire life, dealing with his past and what he did and kind of trying to undo what he's done. And also with the childhood he never had. Because, I mean, he never had one. Like, first he was monitored, and then, like, he was put in school and he never saw his parents again. Never had any contact. I mean, had barely, until end of Ender's Game, he had barely any contact with his with his sister.
Mm-hmm.
And even after that, I mean, it's like they travel together later, but it's like if you think about it, he never had a childhood. He was never a normal kid. He never had anything resembling normal at all. And as I said, that makes it really human and very interesting, like how he deals with it or not deals with it. Like, honestly, he deals with it sometimes as any other human does, by ignoring it for 3,000 years. Very poorly.
Mm-hmm.
Very poorly.
Yeah. So
that's one of the reasons I like that that series. I mean, you are taking quite possibly the biggest mass murderer in history and basically telling his story about how that little boy was manipulated.
Mm-hmm.
About how basically the people he thought were the good guys were most definitely not.
Yeah. And how also... The opinion of him in the public eye changed a couple of times. He went from hero, the kid, like the wonder kid, basically, to the genocide, mass murder, as you said, like he like literally a curse word, to the speaker of the dead, which is revered again.
Yeah,
people didn't put that together for a long time, but. Like how that can change over time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost kind of a more accessible to everyone version of Oppenheimer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see that.
All right.
Yeah.
I can see that.
Okay, and so now I want to know what your picks are or what your interest.
I'm going to go with the radio play.
Okay, go for it.
My favorite radio play of all time, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Ah, the original BBC.
The original BBC.
Yes, hell yes.
That's a good choice. I mean,
it is older than me, and I have listened to it. My uncle was a massive fan of it multiple times, and it is so good.
It's wonderful. Just so brilliantly done.
Mm-hmm.
Incredibly well written, obviously, and wonderfully acted.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just edited together so well. And go ahead, Ben.
And to give you the Cliff Notes, the answer to everything is 42.
Yes, I also like the peril sensitive shades, by the way. Like, there was also something in the original, like that was really good. Yeah, also, by the way, a brilliant book series, like the whole thing,
definitely.
Well, I loved that Douglas Adams could appreciate that you tell the same story in different ways depending on the medium.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so he wrote the radio play, and then turned it into multiple books.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he told the same story, but in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And
Yes.
And then you get the Space Hobbit.
kind of. Yeah. Yeah, no, it's like the BBC radio plays. It's just, I mean, like everything just fits so well together. It's a really well-written story, perfect for radio. Perfect. I mean, for the time and even today, like it's an audio book, basically, or audio. Like you can listen to it on whatever, YouTube. Doesn't matter. It's still good. I think it has aged really well because of that.
I guess I didn't realize that was the origin of the of it was the BBC play, radio play.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I never knew that all this time.
That's what put him on the map.
Mm.
Yep. Before that, he was writing for other properties. Like he wrote Doctor Who episodes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I can definitely see that.
And he was getting established enough that a young upstart named Neil Gaiman was so excited when he got to meet his idol, Douglas Adams.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think I've heard, I might have seen him at a con or two.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's kind of interesting that you picked that, because it's in a similar vein, a really interesting story. It's whimsy here and there. I think also fits with Doctor Who a little bit. Has that, mm-hmm. that like fun sometimes. It's not mm-hmm. everything is like straightforward and like practical.
Yeah, and what I loved about it, it's always been so British.
Oh yes.
I always associate Hitchhiker and Doctor Who together. Sometimes I mix them up just because I sort of got introduced to them at the same mm-hmm. time, and I always, you know, the British angle.
That's a totally fair
mm-hmm. thing. Yeah. They do,
especially
have,
considering yes. that Douglas Adams was involved in both.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I mean they come out of the roughly the same time period.
Right.
Same, I mean, honestly, the same properties, both BBC, and it's like mm-hmm. it for sure is a little bit of a zeitgeist in that.
I also associate it with Monty Python because mm-hmm. I discovered all yeah. those at the same time, but Monty Python doesn't quite fit with Hitchhiker and
well, I think some of the humor yeah. is similar. I can tell.
That's true. That's true. The style is somewhat similar. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's that all that British dry sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's like the silly walks and the Wogons. Like, it's
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Ministry kind of Silly kind of Walks.
Yeah. It's like it kind poetry. Of fits together. Yeah. It's like
that's
it's
true. Kind I of never fits. Thought of that connection. That's mm-hmm. a good connection.
Yeah. It's, by the way, still one of my favorite descriptions of like a bureaucracy. Like sometimes
it's
like
perfect.
Yeah, I sometimes say like the German government works like a Wogon, like bureaucracy or something. If someone says, "Oh, this like whatever this is taking forever to be processed," I'm like, "Yeah, they have to lose it again. Like they have to bury it and lose it and turn it into something else and then find it again." And I'm like, "Yeah, that's how it works."
Yep, that's exactly how it works.
Yep.
So, all right.
Really good one.
Okay. I have one.
Go for it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm cheating a little because I actually read the book recently, but it is also an audiobook. So, is that okay? Does that count?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Of course.
The book is called, I don't listen to a lot of audiobooks. I listen to a ton of podcasts. I've never gotten that bug. Maybe because I listen to too many podcasts. But my choice is The Lost Continent by Bill Bryson.
Oh.
And this being a British network, I there's obviously a pretty strong connection to England. So for those of you that don't know, Bill Bryson is an American from Iowa. I think mm-hmm. from Des Moines.
It says here, yes. Des Moines, Iowa.
Is yes. it Des Moines? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like Superman and Aquaman.
That's what I think. Superman, Aquaman, and Bill Bryson. Right.
But you know, Aquaman sucks.
Not as bad as The Flash, though, isn't
it?
Exactly. That bang guy's always yes. hate the, anyway. Yeah, yeah. But he I think when he got out of high school, he made a trip to Europe and then ended up moving to England.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he lived there most of his adult life. I know he's bounced back and forth between the US and England, but I primarily think of him as a expat in England. And at some point he wrote this book in, I think, 85, 86, somewhere in that range, 87.
It says 89 here.
89. So mm-hmm. he had been in England for a while and then came back. And this is a book about his trip when he came back home. He borrowed his mother's Chevy Chevette
Oh my God.
If you've ever seen a Chevy Chevette, it may be the worst car ever produced in America.
No. That was the Chevy Vega.
Vegas were pretty bad.
Yeah, it's kind of a toss-up. We had a Chevette.
Oh, you had one.
Yeah.
Did you have the wagon or just a sedan?
We had they had the short hatchback model.
Right.
That's the one we had.
Yeah, that's the classic one.
Yeah.
Anyway, oh my
God, that thing was horrible.
So he had two parts of his trips. He left Des Moines and kind of headed south and east. And he came back and then he headed west. And it's a pretty funny story about Americana. The only thing, the one negative thing is it's basically 40, 35, 40 years old. Some of his takes are a little bit cringeworthy. So you have to be a little bit, he has biting sarcasm.
Mm-hmm.
He'll make very pointed remarks about things and people he encountered. Some of them don't hold up well after 35 years. I'll have to say that. But he's a funny writer. If, you know, I've read three or four of his books. And I had never read this one. I'd never even heard of it until my wife told me about it a little while ago. So I have to, you know, give you the caveat that I haven't actually listened to the audio book from Audible. I don't know anything about, you know, the person who read it, but the narrator, but the actual book itself is pretty fun.
His books are fun.
Yeah.
The two books I always associate with Bill Bryson are Walk in the Woods and The Lost Continent.
Yeah. Walk in the Woods was the first one.
Some of the reviews. Bill Bryson bitches his way from coast to coast.
Basically. Yeah. he complains about everything.
Yeah. I mean, it's
very, very discerning tourist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it also shows you once you've lived somewhere else for a while and you go back, you see things differently.
Yeah.
Right.
You have an outsider perspective sometimes and you think that changes things.
Mm hmm.
I'm now getting a picture of Jeremy Clarkson with an Iowa accent.
You know, that would be super interesting as well. If Jeremy Clarkson moved to another country, maybe he's already done so and I don't remember, and then just wrote a book about being then, like at some point. Like, I think that would be super interesting as well. Also, probably the same, like what you said, like kind mm-hmm. of. I don't call it racist, but like, you know.
Yeah.
Kind of a little bit borderline.
Well, I think if you know, even if you just moved within the United States or whatever country you live in, but haven't been back to your, you know, places you were when you were a kid, it can be a very interesting trip. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of his trip, the beginning of it especially, he kind of retraces some places they went on. Mm. Summer trips as kids with their family.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sounds super interesting.
The way he talked about his dad and, you know, his typical American dad driving his family in a car on a car trip in the summer is pretty hilarious.
Yep. Which in Des Moines was Adventureland and
Adventureland. Don't forget about Adventureland.
Yeah.
Well,
didn't go to Canada?
One of the things he said about Des Moines was Des Moines is made up of people, something about, I'm paraphrasing, something about Des Moines is made up of people that are driving through and just decide to stay and don't really know why, but they love it, you know?
Okay.
And the funny thing, none of them are actually from Iowa.
Right. That was kind of his point. Yeah.
Yeah. They're all just driving through.
Yeah, because
that sounds like Arizona.
Because nobody in the state actually goes to Des Moines.
Yeah,
Des Moines not popular. Huh?
No,
I've never been to Des Moines. I have no idea what it's like.
Yeah, let me put it this way: here in Eastern Iowa, if we want to go to a state capital, we go to Madison.
Oh, okay.
Go to Wisconsin. They're funny. I mean,
Des Moines a perfectly fine place. It's
that was very polite. It's fine.
Well, and I lived there at one point. I was young enough that I don't remember living there, but I actually lived in Des Moines. Oh. And I visited Des Moines a few times when I like as a child old enough to remember being there and as an adult. Mm-hmm. And I totally get why Bryson would say it's a place where people stopped and then just never left. They don't know why, but they like it.
Right.
And yeah, that really describes Des Moines really well. It's just this nice place, but it's not a place where you would think, you know, I'm going to go live in Des Moines. It's just one day you realize, oh crap, I live in Des Moines. Okay.
Because yeah, I mean, the funny thing about Des Moines, I mean, you would expect a capital to be both the political and cultural center of the state.
It is not.
It is not. It is a political center. But I mean, when it comes to the cultural centers, that's Iowa City and Dubuque.
So it sounds like Des Moines is Iowa's version of Sacramento.
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Well, Sacramento, at least with the Sacramento River, there are some cultural aspects of its own.
A few,
but Des Moines was pretty much just plopped up in the middle of a cornfield because they didn't want the capital to be in eastern Iowa. Basically, the Missouri coast complained about the Mississippi River coast.
As fascinating as that is, I would like to know what Ben's like audiobook or radio play is.
Oh, right.
Okay.
See, I keep forgetting what our topic is today. I'm so glad you're here, Patrice.
I will say I have a personal connection to this one. My friend Natalie was one of the voice actors in this.
Mm.
But Nat got me in the door, but when I started listening to Someone Knows, I couldn't stop listening. I couldn't wait for the next podcast episode. This is basically the premise of this. The fictional host of a true crime website or podcast. Why she is on the air is called by a mysterious caller who informs her of a true crime in her little hometown.
Hmm.
So pretty much this person now has to go back, not only solve this crime, but navigate small town politics along the way, which are absolutely integral to the plot. Mm-hmm. And it's excellent.
Mm-hmm.
The website sounds
The website is excellent, by the way, as well.
Yeah, it's really good.
There's
website.
There's a little banner that says, "Do you want to know? Yes or no?" And if you like, no, I actually reloaded to click the other one. I wanted to say, yeah, it sounds like a really, really cool. I mean, it sounds like a really cool story as well. Like,
yeah. Yeah, though I do have one kind of funny story to share with it.
Okay.
My friend Natalie's character's name is Petra Van Dam. So since you know this is voice acting and there's no stage to it, I ended up photoshopping, well, pixel mating,
mm-hmm.
Natalie's head on Jean-Claude Van Damme's body, who was doing the splits.
Okay, that's funny.
That is funny.
And I'm sure she loved it.
Oh, yeah.
The genre, because, is that The genre that you described, it remind my first thought was Play Misty for Me. You remember that movie, Clint Eastwood?
Mm-mm. Oh wow, I completely forgot about that.
He was in that. He played a late night talk show radio host, and kind of the beginning sounds a little bit similar to this play, a little mm-hmm. bit. But this definitely looks like a good one. So your friend is Natalie Lynch, is that right?
Yes.
See, now I'm looking up Play Misty for Me because I never watched the movie, but I remember hearing about it. And
it's a good movie.
And I'm looking at the cast, and this has there are names in here that people should recognize beyond Clint Eastwood. I mean, like Jessica Walter's in this one.
Yes.
So, all right. Well, great. Now I do have to go watch Play Misty for Me.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And listen to Somebody Knows.
Yes. Yeah, that looks like a really good series.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Ben, I like that you picked a podcast, because in so many ways, a podcast series like this is the same as a radio play. The only difference yes. is what's the medium that you used to transmit mm-hmm. it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. That's exactly. And, yeah.
And I mean, podcasting is the new radio.
It totally is.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yep. It totally is.
Yep. Yep. In this case, it allows the four Yahoos of us to also be on the video.
Right. But we can have setups like, you know, like this, where mm-hmm. it's possible to have a recording studio right where you live, like mm-hmm. literally yeah. where you live. Yep. It's
well, no, nobody picked the classic. What was the one from the movie A Christmas Story? That Little Abner or something that the kid listened to. Remember yes. he got the decoder ring? Little Orphan Annie. That was Little Orphan Annie. Little Orphan Annie. Right?
Yeah. And Jeff, you know the only thing better than drinking more Ovaltine is?
I do. It's when you set up your website on TSO Hosts. That's right. Ben set it up and I knocked it out of the park.
Alley-oop.
Yep. But it's true. TSO Host is way better than Ovaltine. Tastes better too, if you have ever licked it. That image in my head is now just wrong. It's someone standing outside their offices just like licking the door, and now it's just not sanitary. Anyhow, but here's the thing. It's been great being your host, and every time I think I've finally crossed a line, it turns out I haven't. So I can't wait to see if I'm here tomorrow. Anyhow, TSO hosts, they are awesome, because what they are doing is giving us the resources we need so we can live stream shows like this to you every single week, so that that Ben or Patrice or Tom, whoever, can set up a transition so that I can just knock it out of the park for all of you. I mean, how many shows do you really get that? And what we need is the bandwidth to live stream. And so they're giving us that. That's a resource that we would not be able to manage on our own. And then they're also giving us the hosting space we need so that there's a place for the website to live, so that there's a place for all of the show files to live. And then you can watch or listen to episodes whenever you want. The resources it takes to do all of that, it's more than we would be able to do on our own. And so here TSO Host is helping us out, and it's absolutely awesome. So we do appreciate them for doing that. Now, it turns out TSO Host, this is just what they do. They provide web hosting services and help people buy domain names and stuff. And they're really solid. They're really reliable. And the fact that our shows stream all the time, the fact that our website is just always there, that's a testament to how good they are at what they do. Mm-hmm. So what we need to do is show our appreciation for everything that they do for us. So please just go out on to social media And thank TSO Host for being here and supporting the British Tech Network. That's all you need to do. And it's super easy and it's good karma. So please, we need a little more good karma. Then let's say, though, that you have an idea for a really great domain name and a website to go along with it. Why not use TSO Host? Because we've already established they're really good at what they do.
Mm-hmm.
So here's what you do for that. Go get that domain name added into your cart. They make it super easy to do. Then get your web hosting package and then add the discount code BTN20. And you're going to get 20% off your order. So that's super generous. And thank you, TSO Host, for being here and supporting us and just being generally awesome. And speaking of generally awesome, Patrice, every week that I have to do, yes, Ben, you're just generally awesome too. But today it's about Patrice because every time I have to do the whole bit about where to find the chat, it's a struggle for all of us. And Patrice, when you do it, it's just like the most natural thing and it just works. So please share everyone how to do it right and not the Jeff way.
Well, but the Jeff way is the Jeff way and the Jeff way is also fun. So there's that.
Well, it's fun in the same way that that slowing down to look at a car crash on the side of the road is fun. It's more like a morbid curiosity.
Okay. So, we have a live chat that you can join every week. You can do that every week, Thursdays, 7 p.m. UK time for the big show. And by the way, also Fridays, 4 p.m. UK time for the Mac show. So if you're into the non-Apple side of things, the Apple side of things, I'm kind of mixing up the shows today. If you're into the Apple side of things, like the keynote poker and so on, what's coming up, then that's the show for you. And then you head over to chat.britishtechnetwork.com. And if you do that, you will be in and you can talk to us live. So that's how easy it is. Like no complicated anything. Just go there. But if you are listening to this as a podcast, so in recorded form as a radio play of sorts, like we're playing people who maybe are trying to be good at being podcasters I don't know, maybe that's what it is. I don't know. It's a fictional story about four podcasters doing, I don't know. Anyway, you can still get to the chat transcript. We have a little bot in the chat and it records everything and then it puts that on our website. And that you can find on britishtechnetwork.com/chat. And then there's a little calendar where you have to pick a date and you pick today's date as we are recording this, which is the 31st of August, 2023. Yes, August is almost over. For me, literally, yeah. It's like 2 hours and 40 minutes. It's over. And so, but for you, August 31st, 2023. And then you will find everything that we've talked about.
Awesome. See, that was just so smooth and it went so well.
Except for mixing up the shows and stuff.
I think Jeff, in the future for all the shows, you should randomly pick somebody to explain the chat room on every show and call them at the last minute.
Yes.
Oh, and I can totally do that.
But then we'd lose hosts.
Nobody would show up.
It's like, oh no, tell not you me. What.
Chuck Joyner is going to be really surprised tomorrow on the Mac show.
You should. So, Chuck, can you explain to people how to find the chat room? I think you should do it just to see.
Oh, that would be funny.
So, Chuck, here's your cool thing.
That's fine. Maybe you can save it for next April Fools.
Nah.
Anyway.
Part of summer fun.
Okay, I'll listen in tomorrow if you promise that you'll do that to Chuck.
I'll totally do it to him.
Okay, I'll get up early.
It's going to be Chuck's favorite episode ever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think so. Me and Jeff will get up early too.
All right, no one tell Chuck. that we're doing this.
Okay.
Watch, he's watching.
Yeah, he probably is not.
I haven't gotten a text message yet, so Chuck isn't watching.
Okay, yeah. Mum's the word.
There's a
everybody.
Text message. Nope, kidding.
Mum's the word.
Patrice, thank you for doing that, and I can't wait to see Chuck's response or reaction tomorrow.
Me too.
All right. Well, I guess we now all have new things we can go listen to. So that's pretty cool. So what I want to listen to right now is Ben telling me where people can find him.
In his kitchen?
Well, then, well, Jeff, since I'm blocked to getting out of here, you can find me at Ben Rithig on your social media of choice. I know there are 50 trillion different social networks right now. You can find me in all of them because I have no life outside of social media. You can
50
find
trillion
me
and
on...
one now.
Yes.
I had a new one in the last 30 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. There was Patrice Social. Yep. It's, you can find me on my website. That's what it's called. Rithig.tech. I'm actually currently well into writing a brand new article that should be up hopefully later today if I have time between this and In Touch with iOS. And which gets me to the next part, you can find me Tuesdays on Mac Voices with the aforementioned Chuck Joyner. Tonight, In Touch with iOS with Mr. Dave Ginsberg. And then Thursday and Friday here on the Big and Mac shows, Now I'm Hungry, on the British Tech Network.
Awesome. And it's okay to say that you're building a new article because you are an artisan who is stacking together word after word to architect a new masterpiece.
Yes. And oh, yes. If anybody has seen my Mastodon, they should have a pretty good idea of what it's about.
Well, everyone go check out Ben on Mastodon so you know what this piece is going to be about.
Yes, I finally got Ice Cube's notifications to work again.
Excellent. Excellent. Tom, where can people find you?
Well, speaking of Mastodon, you can find me as Tom F at sfba.social on Mastodon. And in a couple of weeks, I'll actually be in Minneapolis. And I was just looking at the map and I found that we can just hop on the interstate and get down to Des Moines. So maybe we'll make a day trip to Des Moines. Based on the earlier okay, maybe not.
there's nothing there worth going for.
Okay.
I was going to try and contradict you, Ben, and
yeah
instead I'll say, Patrice, where can people find you?
Neither in Minneapolis nor in Des Moines. You can find Nick. I don't know where you would find me because I'm all over the place, but you can find me at least listening and watching me on this show every week on Thursday and also on the Mac show on Friday. So tomorrow you can find out all the 50 trillion and two social media links for me and all the projects and podcasts and literally everything I'm doing on my website, on my hypertext collection. Has the URL thepatrice.com, and I don't know where that came from. And yeah, you can head over to my podcast, Foodie Flashback, if you want to listen to really cool people talk about food related stories and memories, and that's at foodieflashback.com.
Awesome. All right. Well, I guess that means it's my turn. All right. So, social medias, I'm Jay Gamut on how many trillion? Are there now
50 trillion and two at least? So probably we now have three. So
all right, yeah. So I'm Jay Gamut on all of those. I'm most active on Mastodon and Instagram, but you know, I'm getting really tired of Instagram just being TikTok with an Instagram icon.
Yes.
Like really tired of that in a big way. Yeah.
Wait a minute, Jeff. You mean you're tired of all your fake account followers?
Yes. You know, the majority of my followers on Instagram are fake accounts. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
And you don't want to collaborate with them?
I'm so superficial that way.
Yeah, not take their business proposition or date them or anything.
Right. Or send my posts to whatever account. And mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Anyhow, so Mastodon. That's whatever I post on Instagram ends up on Mastodon anyhow. So just go find me on Mastodon. At this point, I think Instagram is a data entry point for me because it automates sending to other services. So
that's nice of them to provide that service to you.
Yeah, well, it took a little bit of if this then that magic to make it all come together too. And shows. I should talk about shows. All right, so Ben gave a great rundown of where you can find me. So just to make sure you didn't miss any of them, on Tuesdays, Chuck Joyner's Mac Voices Live. On Thursday, Dave Ginsburg's In Touch with iOS. Here on Thursdays on The Big Show, back again on Fridays on The Mac Show. Did I say The Mac Show twice? It's The Big Show on Thursdays, The Mac Show on Fridays. And then Brian Chaffin and I record The Context Machine. And that's enough. And I just caught the name for the next social media platform that Ben tossed into our chat, but I only caught it out of the corner of my eye and I completely misread it.
Uh-oh.
It was what I read was a social media platform that was decidedly adult.
Yes.
Yeah, maybe that's
be careful
what it
reading
is.
That one.
Yeah. Anyhow.
So britishtechnetwork.com/chat. Just say.
Yes. And then you can go see the the new adult themed social media platform that Ben just came up with. Yeah. Okay. Anyhow. This has been so much fun. Getting to hang out with all of you today has been an absolute treat. And I have truly enjoyed this. And all of you that that are watching, listening live, everyone that participates in the chat room, thank you for being here. You are all awesome. Everyone that watches or listens to the show recordings later on, thank you for being part of the BTN family as well. TSO hosts, thank you for being here and supporting us. Please give them some online love. Ewan, thank you just for being you. Muller, did you just go, Ewan?
No, I said, I've been doing every time you said you, being you, I always say, in.
I found some humor in me saying, Ewan, thank you for being you. And Ben's like, eh. Muller, thanks for making sure we have people for shows. Yeah, I think that's all the important stuff. All right. Don't forget to join us tomorrow for the Mac show. And then join us again next week for the big show on Thursday. And then, you know, Mac show, it's Fridays. Mm-hmm. So you guys be there. All right. Thanks, everyone. And have an awesome weekend.